Happy Sunday afternoon, and welcome to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone. And it's good to be back with you after having a week off from being on the radio and for spring break for all of you guys. Sheena, how was your spring break?
You know, it was pretty good. Now, I will say I had to go to a work conference in Birmingham for about half of the week, which honestly, you know, it wasn't bad because I got to see all of my other dietitian colleagues across the state. And one good thing about it was not technically having to be at work. Sometimes I hate being at conferences. And even if I have put that out of office reply, I'm still that person that's constantly checking my email. And so then I'm getting all like huffy puffy and distracted because I should have just not been reading emails while I was at a conference. So I didn't have any of that. So it was good.
So it was nice. You just kicked back and relaxed and learned.
I did learn a lot. And I was actually sworn in as president-elect.
I forgot you were congratulations.
My state association. So that's really great. Yeah. I think I might be one of the youngest presidents they've ever had. So we'll see how that goes. But no, I'm really excited. I think, too, we have a lot of students that attend our event, to those that are up and coming as student dietitians and everything else. And so they definitely, they want to make sure that they're staying abreast of the research. And one big thing for us, too, is advocacy and really, showcasing the need for our services within the medical community and getting reimbursement from insurance. So all these things that if you had told me 10 years ago, I would be passionate about. I don't know if I would have believed you. So, yeah. Now, what did you and the Fam Jam do for spring break?
Absolutely not a lot of anything.
You know, that's the best.
Yeah, actually, similar to you, I ended up doing a lot of work.
Okay.
I've been on the board for a journal. It's an online journal for undergraduate students to promote research.
Yeah.
It's called the International Journal of Exercise Science. I think you may have reviewed an article for us.
I did, yes. Thanks to you. That was a great experience.
So, fortunately or unfortunately, I was selected as associate editor-in-chief.
Ooh.
And so it sounds a lot better than it is because I'm basically doing a lot of administrative work.
Sure,
and
sure.
I'm trying to learn the ropes on that. But it's really fun. It's really, for me, it's been encouraging over the years watching this because I've been doing it since 08 with this journal. And it's so cool to see so many undergrads getting involved in research.
Sure.
And I just absolutely love it. And it's, you know, if you'd have asked me, you know, 20 years ago, would I be passionate about something like this? Absolutely not. Probably. But I love seeing the kids.
Yeah.
You know,
well, you know, it sounds like we both had pretty productive spring breaks with all of the patients that I have that have been coming to see me for their follow-up appointments. This past week, they've mentioned, you know, their spring break trips. And so, you know, I had several students that did a combination of going to the beach and Disney World all in the same week. I had one person go to Belize, and I'm like, what in the world? Like, I did not have spring breaks like this. I'm like, what is happening? Like, are you using extra, you know, financial aid funds? Like, I just don't understand what's happening. So clearly they
had. Can you say that on the air?
I know. Probably not. But clearly they are having different spring break experiences than I had when I was an undergrad. So
I'm in the same boat with you. If we went to Gulf Shores for the Redneck Riviera for a night or two, we were living large.
Oh, yeah. And it was probably with family. You know, it was because, you know, grandma wanted to go. It wasn't because we were an independent group of college students going. I don't know. But we've got a great show this afternoon.
We really do.
And I'm excited.
A great guest. I've been looking forward to this ever since I found out we were going to have this guest. And also, we have a new segment.
Yes, we do.
I'm really excited about this new segment called Sheena Talks About a Food.
Yes. So I'm going to be giving you some clues about this mystery food, and then we're just going to see. I would say it is going to be difficult for you to guess. I'm just going to go in and assume that this is not part of the Jackson menu rotation. But I think Alicia's probably eaten it. Probably not.
It wouldn't
Dr. John Jackson.
It wouldn't surprise me. I'm doubt I can guess it, but I'm excited about this whole concept. I think it's cool.
Oh, it's going to be good.
Yeah.
But you guys, we've got to take a break. We have got a great show ahead this afternoon. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hi, I'm Michael Kasky. I'm a civil engineering major, and you're listening to 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone. We want to thank you once again for joining us this Sunday afternoon. After a little time off, a little spring break, everybody getting back into it, and just a little time left before finals are just around the corner and we're out here for the summer.
I know. You know, I know I mentioned this before the break, just getting to see all of my patients this past week as they've come back from spring break. But, you know, a lot of them, I can tell, you know, some are really gung-ho about finishing out the semester strong, and others are kind of, you know, they're kind of in that struggle because they've, you know, lost that motivation. They had that break off. And so, you know, for a lot of different folks, it's been different things, whether it's motivation with academics or some of the habits that we had set up with them ahead of time. So it's always an interesting dynamic at this point in the semester, you know?
Right. It's interesting that you're talking about. I mean, and I know you stay busy year round.
Mm-hmm.
For us, if we at University of Recreation, if I were going to say a slow time of year, aside from summer when there aren't as many students here,
sure.
This is our window of slowness,
sure,
if you want to
sure.
call it that. And for some reason, we have yet to figure it out. We've looked at it. We know that. You know, when January rolls around, everybody has their, you know, New Year's resolutions. Mm-hmm. We know that pre-spring break, we get, you know, a lot of people. So within that window of time from January until March, we're really busy.
Right.
As busy as, you know, we can be. But this is our, we talk about motivation. At this point, people tend to lose their motivation for some reason.
Yeah.
Or something else comes up. We don't know.
Right. Well, just out of curiosity for you guys at University Recreation, kind of knowing that there is that dip right after spring break, do you guys ever initiate any new programs or anything like that to try to loop people back in as a little, like, you know, kind of dangling carrot of like, hey, if you haven't yes. started all semester, this is your chance.
Right.
You know?
We do. And this is one of the things that we do when we're encouraging people to, you know, if it's their first time and they've never been in or they're not comfortable being in a gym, hey,
right.
this is the time to come in if you, you know, want to catch us when we're not really busy
right.
and get a workout in. But, we do have special programs and different types of things that we're doing. I will tell you real quickly before we get into our topic that, you would absolutely love this. You're going to have to try this class. And our guest, we'll ask him in a minute if he would like to try this class too. we're starting a stiletto class.
Oh, my Lanta. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
It's apparently in the new thing in some of the larger cities. And so
is the group exercise instructor, what gender is the group exercise?
A female.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Two females will be teaching
okay.
the class.
It's
actually a paid class. It's
sure.
not a regular group exercise.
Sure.
Class. And so there'll be a progression along
okay.
there. So anyway, it'll be interesting.
I'm perplexed. I know that there are typically a lot of gazers that will walk by the
the
glass,
yeah.
the window. So I feel like there could be a lot more of that happening. Maybe
yeah.
some.
Yeah, we've even had discussions about, do we need to change our policy with this type of class? How long can you stand by the window before
yeah.
we ask you to
move along?
You guys
have had belly dancing. So, you know,
right.
there's not to say that. And,
right.
I mean, Days has its own very like gyrating movements. So
gyrating
you know,
movements. That's a good choice of words.
Yes. Yes. Well, I will say with my one day's experience, and I know I've shared this before, it was fun learning this different choreography, which I'm not the most coordinated person anyways, but it turned into an impromptu twerk battle. So I promptly removed myself to the back corner, and that was I was like, wow, all I know is some Filipino line dancing and that's about it. So I just need to step back for
that's
a second.
That's awesome. So, that's awesome.
Yeah. But anyways, wow, we're going in a really different direction.
Yeah, totally different direction. So we need to get back on the motivation thing,
yes,
on the motivation train here.
Yes.
But speaking of motivation, we got our guest today. And this is, you know, if I hadn't gone into exercise phys myself and I had not been a dumb jock, I would have probably chosen to go into psychology because I'm so interested in it.
Sure.
I mean, there's so many things, and it ties in so closely with what We do. I know with what you do. I've read some books on the psychology of eating. One of my favorite books is Mindless Eating, and you two might laugh at it. To me, it's super interesting. But our guest today, Dr. Philip Gable, associate professor from the Department of Psychology, correct? I didn't know if that was the exact right term, We're fortunate to have Dr. Philip Gable here today, and Dr. Gable kind of specializes in motivation, would you say?
Yeah.
Well, it's great to have you here. We appreciate you coming on, obviously, short notice. It's hard to catch you during spring break. It's hard to catch anybody during spring break. Anyway, do you mind telling us just a little bit about your background and where you come from and how you got interested in this?
Absolutely. Well, thanks for having me on the show. So kind of my education background, I did my PhD at Texas A&M University, and then my first job was here at the University of Alabama. I've been here 8 years, joined the psychology department back in 2010.
Okay.
Really enjoy it. Most of my research focuses on emotional processes, and motivation is always tied in with emotion. It's really hard to pull those apart. If you're motivated by something, there's probably an emotion attached to it. So we study the motivational core of emotions.
Okay.
And a lot of the way that we do that is we use neuropsychological measures. So I do a lot of electroencephalography, just measuring brain activity associated with emotions, brain activity associated with motivation, the way it interacts with our attentional processes, how it influences memory. But I would say the core, I'm a motivation researcher. So I'm really interested in this broad topic of what does motivation do to us? How does it affect our brains? How do we enhance it? How do we knock it down sometimes? Because sometimes we can be motivated in the wrong direction, right?
Right.
And so how do we push this around? On a personal side, I'm excited about the radio show because professionally, in all my classes, if you've ever been in any of my classes, you know that I talk a whole lot about just health in general. I would say, and if we had a different career path or whatever, kinesiology would be one of my main interests.
That's awesome.
Dietetics would also be as well. It's sort of a interesting field. But health psychology is another area, and it's fun to study how we can motivate health behaviors using psychological processes.
Right.
And I would say the joke in psychology is that you do a lot of me-search. And so it's not just research, it's me-search. And so personally, I mean, I think health behaviors, fitness is one of the most important things in our lives because we've only got one body, so we got to take care of it. And then professionally, though, when you read all the research, I teach a biological psychology class, and if you've had that class, they walk away with three big things, and they know they got to eat well, they got to sleep well, and they got to take care of their bodies. So we end up talking a lot of just professionally about the benefits of eating, sleeping, exercise with just their health overall, but not just their mental health, but their physical health, because they're all tied together.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like we hit the jackpot with the faculty member that we have chosen on this topic.
I had actually asked around, and I don't know if you know this or not, but you're known as the motivation guy around campus.
That's a good thing to be known by.
There are a lot worse things that you could be known for. But it's great too to hear. You know, we were talking a little bit before the show started about how you personally like to work out and enjoy working out. And have you have you been that way your entire life?
No. Yeah, so it kind of goes I was going to kind of bring this up on motivation long term. Maybe we'll come to it a little bit later. Okay. I really didn't start working out till I was about a sophomore in college.
Okay.
Really not interested in any kind of running, fitness, whatever, until I was a sophomore in college. And then from there, it's just developed and taken off. We could talk about kind of the long-term motivator behind that. But not my whole life.
So would you just say running is primarily your thing? You like running more than anything else?
If I had to pick one, you know, if you could only do one thing for the rest of your life, I would probably go with running. Overall, though, I find just a lot of different physical activity. I love to lift. I think that's really important to both running and biking is fun. And I've really gotten into swimming here, part of the master swim group. Kind of a general running fitness thing. Yeah,
that's sure. great.
Well,
that's
and great. I know you, you know, before we started recording, you had, you know, told us about you having two kids. I'm sure that provides some motivation for staying in shape to be keeping up with them. And, you know, we're just excited because we have a great list of discussion questions for you this afternoon. I know we've got to take our second break, but if you will stick with us, you guys are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hi, this is Eli Gold, the voice of the Crimson Tide, and I love 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone. And we're continuing our conversation this afternoon with Dr. Philip Gable from the University of Alabama here, who works in the psychology department, an associate professor, and he's in a lot of his research on motivation, among other things. And that was a topic that we wanted to discuss. Sheena and I had bounced this around a little bit, mm-hmm. and Sheena really had a great idea of wanting to, with this being a slow time of year for a lot of people when it comes to working out, and so much research has been done on getting people initially started working out.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know, you know, from our perspective, from a campus recreation perspective, that seems to be all the focus. But, well, you know, one thing that we really need to be looking at is, you know, what keeps people working out.
Right, right.
And Dr. Gable, that's why you're here. You're here to answer those serious questions for us. So just knowing that, we were talking a little earlier, you know, kind of about what our patterns are. And this, you know, this slows down, this time of year slows down for us post-spring break. Would you be willing to just take a guess for me? I mean, why this occurs, and just maybe elaborate on that a little bit.
Absolutely. I'll take a stab at that.
Okay.
So the joke, sort of the joke in the gym when we talk, because mm-hmm. The gym, you
right.
end up meeting a lot of people there. And so you end up talking, you know, why is it so busy right now? Well, it's because it's right before spring break. And then we all come back after spring break and we say, why is it so empty? Well, because spring break's over.
Right.
So anecdotally, there's no data for this. Well, I don't have any data for it necessarily. is that we're less motivated because we were, you know, going to go to the beach and we're going to be in a mm-hmm. swimsuit. And now that's over with. That's not, you know, part of my motivation anymore. So part of it could just be the time of year and the social aspect of it. Busyness is a big part, a big excuse why people don't.
Sure.
They're more motivated by other things right now. A lot of deadlines are coming in, classes are closing out. So that becomes more important. Again, I think in motivational terms. So you're more motivated to do well in your class at this point than spend time at the gym.
Right.
Could even be time of the year. You have to think about the annual rhythms of your body. And we're sleeping less because there's more sun up. So you're also – there's some mood effects from the weather as well. So if people feel good enough without working out, why would I need to work out? You know, so a lot of it has to do with emotional processes as well.
Yeah.
So I think it could be several things.
Yeah, no, and that brings up a good point. And, you know, what's interesting for me, you know, certainly just like university recreation, my office stays pretty busy right after that winter break leading up into spring break as people, you know, are trying to eat in different ways and everything else. But I have this weird and I wouldn't say issue because it's a great thing. It's job security for me. But after spring break, I have new patients that are coming in that have gotten motivated from spring break because maybe they ate so heavy over the break and they're like, oh my goodness, like what did I do to my body? I ate all this food at Disney or wherever they went. And they're like, something's got to change. And so, you know, when we think about motivating factors and what may place people in certain habits, for me as a dietitian, seeing how people are motivated from the habits that they practice over the break can be motivation to get them into my office. So I think that's kind of interesting on a health perspective as well. So
right, yeah, one of the things that I don't want us to focus completely on the physical activity part of this. I mean, obviously the nutrition part of it and the habits that people have and, mm-hmm. and the motivation mm-hmm. to eat healthy. You know, well, I say tend to go hand in hand. I should ask you that question, Dr. Gable. Would you say that, you know, if someone tends to start a healthy habit or a habit they perceive to be healthy, does that tend to lead to more and more healthy habits? Or what can you say about that?
Yeah, I think that has a lot to do with if they identify themselves as a healthy person. Mm-hmm. So one healthy habit, yes, does lead to more likely leads to another healthy habit. Mm-hmm. It's just like I think it was Pascal who said something like, show me someone who's done something just one time, basically. Usually, if you do something, you're more likely to do it again, is what he was saying, especially if it's something desirable. And exercise is, there's a lot of benefits to it. So I think it's part of that whole identity of I'm a healthy person. You see that when people say, I'm a runner, or I eat healthy, or I'm a biker or a weightlifter, whoever they are, that's part of their identity, mm-hmm. is their fitness. Their
activity. Right, mm-hmm. right. So you would say that on the opposite side of that, that could lead to people not being as likely to work out because they identify themselves as not healthy or not a runner, not an athlete. Maybe with that word, not an athlete.
Yeah. I would see that. You hear that all the time. You know, mm-hmm. I am not a runner. Well, yes, you are. If you have two functioning legs, you can run just mm-hmm. fine. And I tell everybody, you know, when people say I could never run, the half marathon is coming up. It was yesterday. And so what you have to tell them is yes, you do. You could train for it, and you could easily run the half marathon if you spend enough time training for it. And eating right and sleeping well and all of those, to go back to your question, they're all tied together. Mm-hmm. You can't exercise if you're eating crap. Mm-hmm. Right. You can't exercise if you're not sleeping well. And so I think a lot of those, it's a whole body process to eat well, to sleep well, to exercise well. And then if you do one of those, you're probably more motivated or you are able to better do the other things as well.
Right. Well, I think you bring up a great point just in terms of, you know, when people see certain habits as their, you know, as their identity. So I actually did a presentation with a group of students just about millennial food choices and how, you know, really now with food choices or even exercise choices, they see it as a statement of their personality, just like fashion statement. So they want to be seen as the, you know, bodybuilder or as the CrossFitter or as the vegan or whatever else, and they, you know, see it as a way to showcase their personality through those behaviors, not just what they're wearing. So I don't know. I've really been geeking out about stuff like that lately.
That's really interesting though to look at. You know, I'd never really thought about it that much, how people's identity plays that big of a role in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but and I think you're on the right track. If you look at, you were just talking about fashion, mm-hmm. and people end up wearing clothes that, I mean, fitness gear has become the normal wear now.
Right.
And what used to be called tennis shoes are now normal shoes. Everyone wears running shoes are now normal shoes now. And I think part of one of my sort of anecdotal hypotheses is that people like to project that image. They like to say, I am a fit person, because that's a positive projection to others in a sense.
Yeah, for sure.
Would you say that looking at internal versus external motivation, you know, we always, you know, tend to say that people that are internally motivated are more likely to be successful. You know, that's from a lay person's point of view. We hear that a lot. Do you agree with that statement, though, as a professional?
There's some research that suggests internal motivation is stronger and longer lasting than external motivation. But you've got to understand, a lot of these are, it's more in a laboratory type setting. It's not necessarily the real world.
Sure.
And the real world is both. It's always some of both in a sense.
Right.
Yeah. So I think as far as motivation to be healthy or fit, it would require both. I think you'd have mm-hmm. to have both intrinsic and extrinsic motivation.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, just for sake of our listeners, can you kind of elaborate on what those, you know, what those differences are in terms of internal and external motivational factors?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So intrinsic motivation is usually associated with an individual's own personal desires or their when I think of intrinsic, I think of internal motivation. Mm-hmm. And so what is it that you want to do? What are you driven to do as an individual? It has a lot to do with some intrinsic motivators or things like I have control over what I want to do. That motivates us to – that's intrinsic motivation. I want to compete against other people because that's an intrinsic drive to compete or compare yourself with other people. Those are some examples of internal motivation. Extrinsic motivation, the biggest one is money. That's one of the most popular ones in the sense that you pay someone to do something, they're going to do it repeatedly.
Right.
Gambling. you other extrinsic motivators, you've got very primary extrinsic motivators like food is a big one. Any of the biological needs that we have are extrinsic motivators.
Okay, right. Thank you. No, and I appreciate, you know, just being able to have that elaboration, especially for some of our listeners who may not have been as familiar between the two. But gosh, we have to take another break, you guys. I hope you are willing to stay with us for an additional segment. We've still got some great questions for you. But you guys, we've got to take that break. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hey, I'm Paul Feinbaum. My favorite station in the world, 90.7, The Capstone.
Welcome back to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7, The Capstone. And we're continuing our conversation this afternoon with Dr. Philip Gable. Once again, after the... had to be interrupted by a break, thanks to you, Sheena. But you always do that to us.
I know. Gotta have that music break in, you know.
But yeah, continuing this, you know, great. It's such an interesting conversation about, you know, being motivated and staying motivated to exercise. It's one of those things that is just so difficult for so many people. And Dr. Gable, you know, we were talking earlier about, you know, people who are lifelong exercisers, you know, how... so many of those people, they can trace their roots back to a given point. You know, why do you say that is for some people? And you know, there are, you know, other people that have tragedies happen in their life, and it doesn't necessarily translate into Forrest Gump running for miles and miles, you know, without
stopping.
That's
a good example.
That was the only place I could go with that.
Yeah, absolutely. He ran for Alabama. Why not?
Right. But, you know, what would you say? I mean, why some people have a tendency to revert to exercise? I have some thoughts on that myself, too, but I'm obviously not. But I want to hear what you have to say first.
So I think there's sort of the bigger question is how some people are driven to continue something for a lifelong, for their the rest of their life, for example. It's the difference between, say, dieting versus healthy eating for the rest of your life, just to put it in a different context.
It's right.
And I think some of it comes back to being an identity. This is who I am, so I'm going to fulfill that in my life by doing what I believe, who I believe I am. Other things, you never know what a motivator is going to be. Sometimes it could be... There are two different types of motivation. There's motivation that's driven to approach, and then there's motivation that drives you to withdraw from something. So sometimes people are motivated by because something's more attractive or something is more delicious, for example. That would be an approach motivator. But also sometimes people are trying to avoid a negative thing. So again, we talk about that when it comes to fitness as well. Are we trying to avoid a health problem? Or, you know, you hear this a lot around after New Year's, I'm trying to avoid gaining weight or trying to avoid being overweight, for example. And so some of the lifelong motivators that I've seen, you see this, they did an interesting study with habitual chronic marathoners, people who have done like 25 marathons in their lifetime, for example. And one of the consistent themes that emerged from that was they had a history of some health problem. Sometimes maybe they had a heart attack, and so they took up running and became this hyper runner in a sense, because you're an elite hyper runner when you run 25 marathons.
Right.
Because they were trying to avoid that health problem. Or maybe they were a smoker when they were younger and they were trying to reverse some of the negative effects of smoking. And so that drives them on. For me personally, it was, I told you, I kind of got really involved in exercising and fitness when I was a freshman in college because I got real sick. I had a very brief acute illness. I had kidney disorder and my kidneys shut down. It cleared up, but it sort of reminded me that I wanted to be a healthier person. Mm-hmm. I did not want to identify as a sick person And so I was sort of motivated to do that. And I think it's been a motivator for the rest of my life. I talk about this when I teach class. And but clearly not everyone needs to have a chronic illness or don't take up smoking so that you have to reverse those effects later
sure.
on.
Right.
And so you see a lot of how could people have that for the rest of their lifetime? I think it comes back to what's your identity, other motivators along the way, because it's not every time I decide to go for a run, I'm thinking, oh, I don't want to be that person I was when I was a freshman in college. It becomes other things, like I want to run faster or be healthier, or, you know, I kind of ate too much cake last night. You know, it depends on what it is, right. And it varies every single day. So I think it needs to be a flexible, a lot of different motivators. If it becomes one motivator in particular, one thing that's motivating you, that becomes a fixation. And there's some evidence that shows when people exercise just to look good or just to lose weight, that's less motivating. They're less likely to continue exercising than if their motivator is to be healthy. If that's their main objective, in a sense. And you see there are two very big different motivators behind that, an identity versus an objective, extrinsic or external control format.
Sure, sure. Well, you know, thinking, and of course, just going along with our theme of motivation, not necessarily on the physical activity realm, but knowing that we have a lot of listeners that are college students and them trying to continue to stay motivated as they finish out the semester, what kind of practical things can they keep in mind to keep up that momentum to stay motivated in terms of just finishing out strong?
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the big ones, busyness is a big deal I hear a mm-hmm. lot of times now. Registration is next week. So what are you putting that on your schedule? You know, are you putting time to exercise on your schedule? Are you putting time to prepare good food on your schedule?
Sure.
And so are you being scheduled in that sense? There are other simple ways. You know, there's a million ways to improve fitness and things. One of the simplest is just the social motivator. So do you have friends that you work out with? Do you have people that you like to see at the gym, you know, so you want to show up to the gym because you have friends that you want to see there. So there's a lot of little things you can do. And I feel like it all kind of comes together. So like getting good sleep, you're not going to want to go to the gym, even if it's in the afternoon, if you didn't sleep good the mm-hmm. night before.
Right.
I push sleep a lot. It's one of the underrated, undermotivated aspects right. of our
yes.
health. That's essential. It's absolutely critical. So I think all those are kind of tied together.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, you mentioned that. One of the things that in exercise science, one of the things that we talk about is, as it relates to nutrition and recovery, is, you know, that term overtraining that's thrown around a lot. There doesn't necessarily ever have to be such a thing as overtraining. It could be under recovery or, you know, not getting the proper nutrition that you
yes.
need. Because if you take care of, you know, it's those three legs to a stool, you
yes.
know, that holds it up. And one thing that I did want to run by you, and before we got off of the topic, what are your thoughts on, you know, potentially as an external motivator? And this is a negative one, but I have seen it before. You know, how many of people feeling guilty for some event in their life, when we talk about a major life event? And, you know, one of the things that happens when you exercise is it's not comfortable. And,
right.
you know, for some people, it's a way of potentially dealing with guilt. And obviously that wouldn't be a healthy way to do it.
Correct. Yeah.
But it is something that you probably would see. Would you agree with that?
It is a motivator for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. It's
yeah.
one of those things that I feel like I see a lot. And you know, from a personal training perspective, what I always try to convince my clients that I've worked with over the years is, you know, if you can get to the point to where you're working out because of the way it makes you feel, if that's your motivator, then you're going to want to do it, regardless of what other motivators are out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, if you can get to the point of, I'm exercising because this makes me feel good, not because I want to lose so many pounds or I want to do this, then you're a lot more likely to do it.
Absolutely, yeah. And you talked about just how it makes you feel good. I get to talk about this in class. There's, you know, we used to talk about exercise releases, endorphins,
right.
you know.
Yes.
Well, now there's some new research that says maybe it's not the endorphins as so much as a neurotransmitter called endocannabinoids. So we all probably know what cannabis is. It's the active ingredient in marijuana. So we have receptors and neurotransmitters in our body that mimic the basically cannabis in a sense. And so if we talk about exercise high, it makes you feel good. It could account for some of the perceptual alterations that happen during exercise. So it's very real that, you know, the bodily changes that occur during exercise that help you mentally and make you feel good, make you feel better. But it is work. You know, if exercise were a pill, everybody would take it.
Sure.
But it requires some effort and some work. And
That to me, that's just, you know, you always see that as that pain that goes. It's either, for some people, it's the motivator to continue to work out, or it's the thing that stops people from working out.
Well, you know, for me as a dietitian and being an advocate of preventing eating disorders before they start, you know, one big thing that I will often ask clients or just college students I work with, you know, when you're choosing that eating or exercise behavior, are you doing it because you love your body or because you hate your body? Because, you know, if you're doing it because you hate your body, that can really take you into a dangerous mindset down the road. But if you're really going into mindset, I'm doing this because I love my body, I'm wanting to nourish it, I'm wanting to take care of it, not because I'm punishing it and I hate it. So I love that it kind of, you know, went into that conversation piece. So I have been feeling this conversation this afternoon, and Dr. Gable, you have been fantastic. We have one last little segment, and it sounds like you might be a very appropriate person to join John in our segment as I share a new food with him. So I hope you'll stay around with us for just a little bit longer.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah.
Perfect. Well, you guys, we're going to take one last break. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone.
We're the Ballad Assembly, and you're listening to 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back to Fit to Be Tied on 90.7 The Capstone. This is John along with Sheena here, and we're wrapping things up for today with a new segment that we're starting, and we might continue it depending on how it goes. I'm really excited about this. This segment is called Officially Sheena Talks About a Food. So what we're going to do is, that was terrible, but
that was good. It was very dramatic. I like it.
But so here we go. We're going to let you describe, you're going to describe a food to us.
Yes.
And we're going to take turns trying to guess what that food is.
Yes.
And you have some very good information about the food also, and so that you can, people can actually use it in a recipe potentially.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So definitely some education involved. So I'm just going to list off some facts, and then I'll give you each time to make your guess if that works.
Okay, that's great.
Does that work for you?
Okay. Yeah.
So this food is considered by health professionals to be a superfood. It comes in different colors, and there are about 1,800 different varieties. It originates from Peru, but is also grown in Bolivia and Chile. It can be eaten at breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It is a great source of plant-based protein. I can't tell, John, if you may already know what it is or not. I don't know. I have a feeling Dr. Gable's going to get it right off the bat. You can eat it hot or cold, but it definitely has to be cooked first. It should not be eaten raw. It's gluten-free. After cooked, it has a soft and fluffy texture. It has anti-inflammatory benefits, helps lower cholesterol. It is good for heart health and digestion due to its fiber content. People consider it to be a grain, but it's actually a seed. And it's quicker to cook than most comparable grains. So, I don't know. I mean, you know, if it, for someone who may eat this a lot, they're probably going to get it right off the bat. But if you don't eat it on the regular, you know, it may not come as
well,
easily.
Well, as we know, as a meat and potato eater, it's neither one of those. Dr. Gable is furiously writing over here. So, I assume he probably knows what you're talking about. But, you know what? I am completely clueless. You come on our show and make me look totally bad, but I'm all for it. I'm down with it. I don't have a guess. I don't have the slightest clue.
Okay.
But I'm gonna, Dr. Gable, what do you say?
There's so many things it could be. I really feel like it could be a lot. I'm gonna go, because you mentioned the South America, chia.
That's a great guess. It actually is not chia. Yeah.
Well, don't look at me because I can't. I can't even.
So it's quinoa.
Yes, of course.
So you know, one interesting thing about, and I feel honestly, as a dietitian, I tend to go anti-trendy foods, but you know, and quinoa, just like kale, has become trendy. But it does have a lot of great nutrition benefits, and for a lot of vegetarians, it's known as what's called a complete protein, just as far as having those complementary amino acids in there, and so it's a great source of protein for vegetarians. Really versatile, and it can be cost effective depending on where you buy it. But one of the recipes, and we'll actually be sharing it through the station's Twitter account. It's a one pan Mexican quinoa, and so you can add your quinoa in, add in some black beans, corn, some diced tomatoes. John, do not give me that look. There are listeners that really love those ingredients.
I'm sure they do.
Yes, you know, add in some cumin in there and some coriander, or if you're, you know, on a budget or don't have a lot of seasonings, you could do a low sodium taco seasoning packet in there, and also add a little bit of chicken stock in there to cook the quinoa. It's really good. You could eat it hot or cold. It's our meatless Monday choice in my household, if I had to be honest.
I can eat pizza hot or cold.
Yeah, this is true.
Hey, real quickly, can you define superfood when you say that?
So, you know, I would say probably in lay terms, or what you're going to see on the internet, is a food that just has an abundant amount of health benefits, whether that is the amount of vitamins and minerals that are in there and everything else. But for me as a dietitian, you know, I have to connect that with how practical it is for someone to use it. So is it a superfood to them because it's super yummy? Is it super nutritious? Is it super easy to cook? So even if something is a quote unquote superfood, I think really connecting with my patients on how they can use it practically is going to be a huge piece. But usually if you're thinking of something as a superfood, it's because it has been seen to have such abundant health benefits, whether it's like anti-inflammatory, great fiber, vitamin mineral content, all that kind of good stuff.
Real quickly, once again, where can they get this recipe?
So hopefully we are going to be able to tweet it on the 90.7 The Capstone Twitter account. We'll actually do the link to the blog post. It was written by a college senior at a university in North Carolina, so I wanted to make sure I picked a recipe from a college student.
Great.
So,
that's perfect. Good deal.
Well, all right, you guys. We are done with another fabulous afternoon. We hope you enjoy us next week as we come back on. You have been listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone.